My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clofus. And then there are the small moments, the slow mornings spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code ANDYSCIRLS through December 31. And we're back. Okay, so we were talking... Leave me the fuck alone. So we were talking about the come to Jesus style conversation.
Oh, no pun intended, but phrase. Pun intended.
Literally a little bit of fun. Fun.
These intended. Women love two things, fighting and Jesus.
And I'm a believer in one of those two. So listen, and I've heard he's a great guy. I love every minute of it. But I do just want to say, you know, shalom means hello, goodbye, and peace. And I think Tamara's only interested in one of those three. And when it comes to Shannon, you know, she had this moment where it seemed like she was surprised about the lawsuit, surprised about John. But here's why I'm going to call her on bullshit for some of that. Because then I think about the Big Bear trip and the fact that Alexis is dropping hints and then obviously tells Katie more details about the video. But I think about that moment when they're in their cute little bear costumes and Tamara's lounging and Alexis is talking to the group about the video. Who is the person that introduces the video in that conversation the night before they leave? It's Tamara fucking Judge. Tamara's the one that says, John has video. This didn't occur to me the first time I watched it, occurred to me the second. John has video that he's going to release. So you cannot tell me. You can tell me that Tamara was aware that John was sending threatening letters and maybe that he didn't announce a lawsuit, except that doesn't make sense because it had been dropped on People. So of course Tamara was aware. But you cannot tell me, you absolutely can, but I don't believe you, that fun times with words, that Tamara sat down at that dinner and wasn't aware of the video existing because she herself referenced it. And I do not believe, not a single part of my body thinks that Alexis said, I'm not going to give you any info, but I am going to tell you that that John Jansen, Johnny J, is threatening to release something terrible about Shannon.
Oh, I'm sure she told them everything. She is not, she can't keep a secret.
If she told Katie, who's been on the show for 15 seconds and didn't tell Tamara Judge, who she knows is also on her side with this more than she's not, it would not make sense to me other than Tamara knowing. So Tamara then potentially, if I'm correct, which I very well might not be, sits down at that dinner and I think knows two things. One, Johnny J is absolutely threatening her, and whether or not that has come into a lawsuit or whatever, he's announced it publicly. And number two, she knows the contents of the video and does not share it or even say anything about its existence at that time. What she does do is continue a narrative of Shannon is a stupid, lazy drunk. Shannon is a bad person because she's consuming alcohol and she shouldn't. And she's still pretending that that's based on care. If Tamara had any care in the world and really wanted to repair her relationship with this woman, I guess she would be inviting her to film, which they're now pretending is a big sign of them repairing their relationship, which maybe in some part of the Bravo universe, you can actually argue that, yes, sure, that's the case. But also she would say to her, something is coming. But Tamara doesn't say that. It takes a group meeting when they're all in robes for someone to share this information for Shannon to find out in a group setting. That person does not appear to be Tamara Judge.
Okay, good points. Valid points. And this is all stuff that Shannon will see when she watches all of this back. She's going to notice all of this. So this reunion should be really good.
The reunion is going to be incredible. My concern for the reunion is don't keep Alexis there the entire time because she's just going to get in the way of the big girls club.
She can't be.
She's not an adult. She can't sit at the adult table.
No, it's so bad. It drains me. She's not a good actress. They're not good at this. She and Johnny J are like, oh, it just none of it flows. We can see through it. She's got her practice lines. She's got her talking points before every filming session. It doesn't feel natural. She's there with an agenda, a strong one.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how to feel about the Tamara of it all. She sat down at that dinner table and said, you owed me an apology. I can't believe you haven't reached out.
I couldn't believe that. I was shocked by that. I was like, you literally just sat down.
Because she's inventing her own reality for someone who seems to have a really strong thesis about Shannon living in her own special world. Tamara sitting down at the table and being like, I need to start this out with a light gaslight of how we last filmed and pretend that that didn't happen was wild to me.
But you know what I always wonder about Tamara, though? How much of this is real and how much of it is her just stoking the embers? Because that's sort of her role. She's been on the show a long time. She credits herself with being someone who stirs the pot and gets things going. She wants OC to be successful. And so a lot of me wonders about Tamara. I would venture that we only see maybe 10% of real reactions, real ways that she would act in life. And the rest of it is her just being as outrageous and outlandish as possible.
And she does a good job.
Sure. Right? She knows how to get Shannon's goat. I mean, she's really good at it. She got her going. Shannon lasted 3 minutes. I timed it at that table and she was up.
Oh my God. And then it looked like there was a moment where a producer, when Tamara's like, is she coming back? And there was a producer who I thought was like looking at the menu. I thought to myself, is he ordering a meal or is he like telling?
I would. I'd be like, what's it going? This is going to take a minute. If Shannon got up after 3 minutes, I'm going to get the steak.
It was a wild, I don't know, like Tamara saying, I'm here to try to make things better. It's hard for me to hear people believe that.
No one believes that. Totally, because when she got up and left, when Shannon got up and left, Tamara asked that same producer, oh, did she go get a drink? Yeah. She's only there to agitate.
And I wish that you know, because Tamara's doing this as a morality crusade. I actually got into a little argument with a friend over text message earlier because they were saying essentially that Shan stands are akin to tree huggers. And I said, excuse me so much, because of all of the standums, and this is not an insult to tree huggers, but the behavior that I have seen in tree huggers is typically not necessarily an acknowledgement of Teresa's behavior, but reasoning behind it and why someone else is responsible. I think Shan stands come to the table connecting with Shan because of the broken pieces, because they identify her as a broken bird and connect with that. So to say that we don't see and understand the fact that she is vulnerable and might need to be evaluating some of her relationships to people, places, and things, like, that to me, at least from my own corner of the Shannon standum, is ridiculous. Like, I just also think that people might have an extra healthy dose of empathy for her because she's had a difficult go of it in essentially every go that we have seen. But I don't think that it's unreasonable for people to also be protective. I just also don't think that equals a complete obliviousness or defensiveness or I don't know, aggressiveness. I was honestly really annoyed. I was like, you're coming.
Yeah,
to
I don't
me
see any parallel there.
Yeah,
I don't see any parallel because I think the thing about the very hardcore tray huggers is that they seem to always be looking for a fight when it comes to Teresa, where it's like, I'm not trying to fight. It's like the people that have the don't tread on me, like, I'm not treading. Literally no one is treading. I'm just existing and that's it. And like even today, somebody came on my page, a post I made a long time ago when everybody spotted Teresa at Coachella. And it was like, oh, look, there's Teresa at Coachella. Like, she's got a hat on, but we'd recognize her and Louie anywhere. Some tray hugger came into my comments and was like, hater. Hater. I'm like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. That was effing 3 months ago. You don't even follow me. What led you here? What path did you take to find hater? As this is not a hating on Teresa. Like, nobody's fighting with you. Like, literally, it's just showing her at Coachella saying she has the hat on, and that's how you can spot her. See what I'm saying? Where I feel like a Shan stan, Shannon, the people who support her, it's more like she's willing to at any given moment, like, talk about her faults. What has she done wrong? How did she contribute to the situation? She wants to punish herself. That's a big part of it, is this kind of attitude and personality type where she feels so bad that she wants to keep suffering. She's like, what other ways can I pay for this? I feel so terrible. I have so much anguish and embarrassment about this situation. And I think the people who are into Shannon, you know, they lead with that. It's like empathy, understanding, how have I contributed to this negative situation? So it's very different energies. I'm surprised there would be a correlation there.
Sidebar, say tree hugger for me.
Tree or tray? Did I say tray hugger?
You've been calling her tray hugger.
Oh, well, I'm fine. Okay. Thank you. You know, it's like sometimes I'll say Tarjay. It's whatever feels right.
I love that. Well, no, I think we all say Tarjay. Do we not?
I don't know. Do we not?
No, I think we do.
Well, maybe it's just, yeah. We could.
I say chipotle because it makes me giggle intentionally.
I say bibiqui, and I probably know as well. Barbecue.
Oh,
I don't know why I say it like that. I just like it. So yeah, now I'm going to call it tray huggers. But anyway, that's to say that I support you, and I don't see a correlation there. And I don't know why somebody would say that to you unless they're like Johnny douchebags and they just want to cause pain and suffering.
Yeah, and I think speaking of pain and suffering, the thing that I don't understand about Tamara is, like, why isn't she a better listener? Because Gina is laying out the blueprint of how to talk to someone and try to support someone, especially and specifically if you are questioning their relationship with a substance or something else. It is not to shame them. And even when Tamara's talking to Gina, she's like, it's not like you're an alcoholic. Like, saying the word alcoholic is a pejorative and the worst possible word. And then it's not like you have you had a relationship with alcohol or an alcohol problem. And then Gina corrects her and says, no, I did have an issue with alcohol. It took me a while. When I first was charged with the DUI. That was the worst possible moment for me. I was my absolute most defensive. No, if you told me that I had a problem, I would not have accepted it or agreed. I needed my own time to say I was coping with alcohol in a way that was unhealthy. And then she made the decision not to drink. So it's like, for Tamara, you had this literal conversation with someone who is saying, if you care about this woman, support her with caring, or, and I forget if this was during the episode or the after show, walk away. But that's not what Tamara is doing. She's not saying, because I cannot handle your relationship with alcohol, I need to leave, which, P.S., I think she would have every right to do. If she felt like she saw this woman spiraling and she could not support her in an effective way and she knew she had other forms of support, if Tamara was like, this is too triggering for me because of my own experiences with family members or loved ones or whatever else, she has the right to protect herself and keep herself safe. But that's not what she's doing. She wasn't saying, I want you to get help, and because of that, I'm backing away. What she's saying is, I'm leaning into being crueler than ever.
Absolutely, yes.
And punishing you for not making the decision that I wanted you to make, which is why I'm asking you at every point, when's the last time you had a drink? Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm making you tell me how many drinks you think is okay to pass the litmus test of whether or not you are deserving to be my friend. It's so disordered. It's like genuinely such a weird, manipulative, toxic, disordered process. And Tamara gets to be the one to spout, well, I'm doing it because I'm the most ethical, because I know she has a fucking issue and because I care. I don't want to use the word that I want to use, but it's not.
I feel you.
It's not. You know what I'm saying? You know the word.
Are there any Tam stands?
Totally.
Is that a thing, really?
Absolutely. Oh, I think
I have never heard of that.
Well, I think that there are many of us at this point, because she's been on the show for so long, are like, I love her on the show. I do think there are also anti-Shans, which I do not begrudge in any way. People have every right. I talk about Trigger Housewives. There are people that like just drive me off the wall where I just have visceral anger. Mm-hmm. So if Shannon is a trigger for people, I can completely understand, accept it, like, no problem. I think that sometimes maybe the anti-Shans are Team Tamara, because maybe they think she's good TV, which, again, I don't begrudge. And also, they feel like Shannon has been spiraling for a while, and they mm-hmm. don't feel like there has been maybe a change in her behavior.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's the beauty of Bravo. If you don't like one thing, someone hates them. So you can like that person who's going to do nothing but make their life hell. So there's still a reason to watch.
I just don't understand. I think Tamara would be more successful on Jersey, but to our own detriment with some of her behaviors, because they are so purely toxic and self-centered and maybe like a little self-absorbed or just disingenuous, that would pass on another franchise. But I think the difficulty for Tamara, and the reason I'm so thankful that of all the franchises that she's on Orange County, is because she's surrounded by a lot of smart women who aren't afraid of being honest. And I really cannot say enough how appreciative I am for Gina and Emily, because I feel like they are aware in the moment, in confessionals, in press, of talking about the fact that, frankly, Tamara's strategy is flawed. It's flawed thinking, and it's further upsetting this woman. Like, what's the point of what you're doing? Like, as Gina has said, I'm not taking away from Tamara having the right to be mad. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve that. I wasn't in the behind the scenes of her relationship with Shannon. I could understand a level of exhaustion, but what she is trying to do is punish this woman. This is my language now. Punish this woman for a friendship that maybe didn't work out, or one that Tamara can't fully control. Like, maybe that's Tamara's real issue here. She cannot control Shannon in the way she thought she could. Shannon's making it tough for her, so Tamara's going to punish her for it.
Maybe, but she did invite them at the end. She invited Shannon and Vicky to her party.
Yeah, and you know what that party is? It's one with special guest Teddy Joe Carrot, the Traitors-themed thing. If I'm understanding the teaser for next week, that's the filmed event. Unless there's another one, which they very well might not be, but the glory of editing is it looks like Tamara saying, I'm inviting you to event. Then we see the flash forward of the event next week. Of course, she's going to want to make sure that Vicky Gunvalson, who hates Teddy Joe Carrot, is there, because that's going to make for good TV. So I think that there was a little bit of a workaround here of Tamara showing up, knowing that at the end of the day, she's going to invite Shannon regardless, because it's going to make good TV, and her ally podcast friend wants to have a splash by saying something shitty to Vicky. And the only way to do that is if Shannon is present. So like, I'm not saying Tamara's a piece of shit for being strategic here. I know who this woman is, but her ability to convince some of us that she has the right to behave in the manner that she's doing is unacceptable to me. I just don't agree with it.
Armoire
makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gunvalson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of hormone harmony. Hormone harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
Can we talk about the Bible Club and OnlyFans?
Yeah.
The fact that they were having Jen roll around on a pool table and put her foot into an apple pie.
What a waste of
time. And then when Tamara, I never in a million years.
Was it an apple pie?
I think it was.
That makes it so much worse. That's the best.
But the most effing delicious pie there is.
Oh my God.
And I was high.
So upset. It should have been a cake. Don't soil an apple pie.
And how no matter how disgusting it was that she put her toesies in that pie. And then Tamara ate it up. And I started to almost cry. But then the only silver lining was they kept eating the pie.
I missed that part. I think because I was trying not to see that it was an apple pie. I missed the fact. That really is actually very upsetting to me. This is a normalized change in my baseline information. It's not a change of mind, but that really upsets me because I just don't think we've seen enough. Earlier generations, I've heard in Great American History, had to hear about a guy fucking a pie, and this is worse than that. Because at least he didn't. At least there was a consensual relationship between him and the dessert. Like, this is just, don't put your foot in it. I don't know what's worse, a foot or a dick. I don't know.
Oh, I think that's easy.
Is it the dick?
I would take the foot. Oh, I don't. I would take the foot.
I don't want,
because he doesn't just stick it in there. He completes. Oh. So Sarah, think about this now.
I forgot about it. I was just thinking. Ain't no eating that pie. Okay, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just
I don't want to yuck anybody's yum out there, because what we don't do here is fetish shame. So to each their own. But for me, I'm going foot. And this is one of those questions that, you know, if I'm at the end of my years, I hope that somebody says to me questions like this: what's going on? What day is it? What month is it? Apple pie from Orange County. Would you rather that or the one from American Pie? That's a great question.
I just want to have a slice of the pie. It's gluten-free. It's dairy-free. There's one that I always order. Shout out Need Love, KNEAD, small business, woman run.
I've seen you post them before, and I really want to try them.
She's wonderful. She does Thanksgiving pies, and every year I get an apple pie that's gluten-free, vegan.
Oh,
what's the other thing? Refined sugar-free.
Oh,
and it's
delicious.
And she makes little hearts in the crust. And her baking, the colors of the box are pink. Okay. It's pink and white. And
I will scream if I see that.
And you can follow her on Instagram. She is wonderful, and she does, but it's, you know, you have to be in New York to get it. So you need to come in from Orange County, where you live full time.
Yeah.
So we need to get a community. Gina Keogh's old house. We need to put some holy faith, some Christian faith, some Christian love back on the apple pie, because it does not deserve to be soiled in this way. And I also want to apologize, because I forgot that he was in fact possibly having like a really intimate relationship.
You forgot about that part. That's kind of the key. Kind of the key there.
You know what? Thinking back, I did forget the most important part of the pie.
Yeah.
That was tough. Just eat the pie with your mouth.
Yeah.
Not with other holes.
It's like that saying, like, yeah, sex is great, but have you ever had a gluten-free, refined sugar-free apple pie?
Vegan.
Vegan apple pie. Delicious. That makes me want to bake a pie. It's getting kind of crisp. The air's getting a little chill to it. I want to get witchy. I want to put on a sweater, some soup on the stove. I want to bake a pie. I'm going to do it.
Bravo did put out a little teaser that's like fall is coming, and then it flashed all these franchises, including Potomac. And I thought to myself, is that still a thing? I forgot
I
about
know.
Potomac.
I know. They were going through it. But yeah, it's still a thing.
And I think, God help us, didn't Karen Huger have a situation with a car and ticketing because of allegations that she shouldn't have been in the car at that moment?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I got excited because we're going to have a season without Candace on it, and it should be filled with joy. She's taking a break. Did you forget? Isn't she taking a break?
Wait, do you hate Candace that much?
I dislike how cruel she is to people. Correct. It bothers me. She is so rude and cruel to people. The way she fights, she's like a little rattlesnake. It makes me hard to enjoy the show. It makes it difficult for me to watch and enjoy. She goes so cruel, so mean to people that it's not fun to watch.
How do you feel about Giselle being back, who's someone who, as we well know, is nothing but nice?
Ah. No, Giselle is terrible too, but at least she's a little bit funny with it. Like the way she and Karen fight is, I think, the way Real Housewives should fight. They actually have a friendship. They make up. They don't go like beyond the pale with each other. You know what I mean? They don't dig in so hard that they can't come back from it. So that's how I see it.
Wow. I don't know why I'm shocked by this. I don't know why, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even really remember who's in the cast of Potomac at this point. I feel like it's been a minute and the reunion was so god-awful. It has to be better than that. But Potomac is at such a high level of excellence that I sort of need it to be back there, because you only get one franchise to really be fucked, and they've already checked Franklin Lakes.
I know they get their stuff together. I think they will. And by the way, I will say this. I did not watch all of last season. I had to drop off at a certain point. I had a DVR issue. But I will say, I know that Candace went through it and that they ganged up on her. And I remember seeing that online and being like, screw all of you for making me feel bad for Candace in this moment, because they were doing her dirty. They were really wrong with the way they came for her, her marriage, all that stuff. And that's issues that Potomac cast has. I think maybe a lot of the Real Housewives do. Maybe they all just need a culture change, you know, a sit down and like, hey, we like some light banter, but stop trying to ruin each other's lives. And I've said that before. It's like, I'm here for the you look like shit, by the way. I'm not here for the let's try to break your marriage apart, or, you know, harass you, send people to harass you off camera. Like that shouldn't be what these shows are.
Yeah, the PS You Look Like Shit was one of my favorite moments. I mean, I know it's amazing. Not a high list for New Jersey, but the line delivery of it was excellent.
It was so fun. And Jersey is usually just so like combative, but it was slight. She had a laugh on her face. Mm-hmm. It was nice. It stood out.
And I like any moment that takes Jen Aiden by surprise. Jen Aiden was so upset for the rest of the night because she knew that in that moment, Danielle won.
She got that
one moment. You don't have to say the whole thing, but Danielle got a point. I don't know why, but I feel like this is a little bit of a transition into talking about Jen and Ryan. So we were engaged in that conversation. We got a little distracted by talking about the pie. But with the conversation around Jen and Ryan and the OnlyFans of it all is somewhat of an LOL, Jen did have that confessional at one point that I was confused by, where she sort of seemed to be doing a wink of like, what does he really do for a living?
That was interesting. Yeah. But it seemed like she was just poking fun. I'm like, then tell us.
Like, well, I think I'm all ears, Jen. Did it not? I think, you know, ESPN or whoever.
That's such a funny joke, only if we know what he actually does. That's where that joke lands. So remains a mystery.
How bad is it to be a bookie? I don't know anything
about
it.
Pretty bad, I would say. I mean, I did a dive on this. I have a dive on it. It's the Ippy dive. where I researched the entire thing about what he was actually accused of and what happened. And his friend went to, went away. There's a whole issue with that. But yes, it's illegal gambling, being a bookie.
Okay.
But now I'm not saying Ryan was. He was his best friend, had to deal with government agencies over it.
So Ryan wasn't like skilled enough to do the illegal thing?
We don't know. All we know is that, okay, so here's how it goes. Two second rundown. A player for the LA Dodgers. I'm very high. If I can remember this, it'll be great. Player for the LA Dodgers came from Japan, did not speak any English, brought somebody with him who he met at a game years before who spoke great English, was a fan of his, seemed like a successful business person. So they come over together. And this is his translator. And the translator is between him and everything. Just imagine going to another country. You don't speak any the language, whatever, wherever you are. And you rely on one person for everything. Help me set up a bank account. Help me do this. Talk to my manager. What's my rate going to be? Da, 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 da. This person knows everything about your life. And so this person, his name is Ippy. And that's his nickname. And he starts gambling. And who is his bookie? His bookie is Ryan's best friend. And him and Ryan, this guy, this bookie and Ryan are seen together very often at Vegas casinos, blah, 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 blah. When Ippy makes a payment to his bookie, one of those payments is going to Ryan. In fact, probably more than one. They didn't give like a total tally. But money that he owed the bookie would go to an account that was owned by Ryan. That's how Ryan got mixed up in all of this.
So, and Ryan is not like facing any jail or anything because he's cooperating.
It would seem that way. It would seem that everybody is very cooperative.
Okay.
And Ippy already had a trial and all this kind of stuff.
Was Ryan making like real money on the up and up money in addition to this? Because the way that Jen is communicating, she's like, he's retired, huh? Whatever. He's investing. Obviously, he's investing, but not in maybe the
best. So what I saw was that, you know, a long time ago, he worked for Countrywide. He sold mortgages. And so this was around the time of the housing crisis as well. He's working for Countrywide. That's a whole nother thing I could talk about because Countrywide was one of the major players. It got bought up. Then it was this big, it was one of the worst deals ever in like United States history of like a company buying another country and then a company and then paying a huge price for it. But anyway, he used to work for them. He did mortgages for a long time. I thought he still did mortgages. And then that's why when Jen said, I want to say 3 or 4 episodes ago, she said, he used to do mortgages. Now he doesn't do that anymore. I said, what are you talking about? Then what job does he have? And so that remains unknown. If he invested in things, if he's just living off of, you know, what lucrative money that he made up until that point. Don't know.
So do we think she maybe should sell that Rolex?
He's giving her 2 Rolexes and a pretty, you know, they haven't been dating for forever. I've been with my husband for a very long time. I have no Rolexes. So I don't know.
Well, that's a conversation that you should have with him.
I don't want one. I'm always afraid I'm going to get stabbed. I'm like, I want to look as dirt poor as possible when I go out of the house. I'm like, just don't stab me, friend. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. If I'm walking down the street in New York City and I have any, I could not carry anything flashy. I would just be like, take it. You're right. That was dumb. Why am I carrying this bag? That's $2,000. That's so stupid. Go do something with it. Like, ridiculous.
Well, the thing that you could do with it is buy a bag and then I guess. So, I mean, it just makes me a little concerned. I feel like, Jen, there's a point in time where you either decide to learn the lesson or not. But I feel like the lesson Jen learned is, let me just continue doing exactly what I did before because I finally found the man. And so her obliviousness by choice or I don't know what, I feel like now she's probably going to dig into being even more defensive, but this is the time where we're like, sweetie, we like need you to be asking questions. Maybe not, is this the guy? Because it seems like she really is quite confident in that, but how are we providing for our future? Like, how is he literally bringing in income? Is she sitting down with him? Or is this just a conversation of this is God's plan? Because I don't know that God thought of the, I know that God is creative. I mean, welcome to my life. But like, I just don't know that God was like, yeah, don't go on LinkedIn, just go to Caesar's and, you know, blessed be the roulette. I don't know. I need her to, I want her to learn lessons, especially when she's telling us, don't yell at me, I have.
Well, now here's the thing. There's a cost for everything, right? So for Jen, she may not want to do what the ladies all want her to do, which is like, go do something and save yourself. If you don't want to save yourself, then your life is in the hands of the person who is sustaining you. So that's just what you, that's the trade-off you make. And so if she's comfortable with that trade-off, then she's comfortable with the unknown, the not knowing of, I'm not sure where this money is coming from. How would she know? Even if he told her something, unless you're on those accounts too, you know, and I know that they're, you know, engaged or whatever now, so maybe she will be at some point and have complete transparency, or maybe that's not how their relationship will work, but she's comfortable with it.
How does that work when you get married when it comes to like this man possibly having secret debt? If he does, which he very well might not, but like, how does he not? Like, how does that, at what point is she going to be wrapped up in his shit if and when they get married because of being bound together legally under the Lord?
Well, there's two things, right? So they can't, I don't think they can force a spouse to testify against the other one. So right. Yay, silver lining for them. But then the negative is, if he owes a ton of money, as we see with, you know, Erica Girardi, you can be on the hook for that. People can come after you and file claims and try to get money from you. So it's a risk.
And what does his restitution look like? Or has that not yet been resolved?
I know nothing about that. I mean, the only thing I know is that the guy, Ippy, you know, went on trial and he had his whole thing and he, they had plenty of evidence on him, but allegedly the bookkeeper, his bestie, is working with them. And I think she put out something on her stories before I even knew what any of this was and what was happening before the season started. This all started trickling out into the news. And she said something like, you know, we're good here. Don't put any of that negative energy on us. I want to say it was something like that. And we know he's made a deal. He's working with people he needs to be working with, kind of a thing, which leads you to think, okay, you know, he's covered because he gave them everything they needed, or he's being cooperative.
And she's really appreciative because he wants to get pedicures and they're drinking Diet Cokes. And
yeah, he's been on his best behavior this season. I've been very impressed.
He gives her attention, and her love language is like probably physical attention and gifts. And who doesn't love a prezi now and again?
Honestly, oh, it would be so nice.
I'm going to turn that down. Mm-mm. I mean, I just... I hope that she is also giving him attention and giving attention to him for herself. But you can't lead a whatever to water, et cetera, old dog, new tricks. Like,
yeah. And I thought it was heartbreaking when she was talking about her ex-husband, Will. I think this is the most that she's really opened up about issues that they had, because thus far, and I will say credit to her, because thus far she has taken the brunt. It has been like, you saw somebody hot at the gym and you ditched your guy who looks just like a meat and potatoes guy that you knew from back home. You've been together with forever since you were young, and you wanted to go be with this guy at the gym who's a smooth talking, you know, guy. But she said something in that clip that I was like, I'm going to pay attention to that. I'm going to hold on to that, because she is, to me, kind of a Disney princess character. I think that she means well. She tries to do well by people. And so when she said that her husband, she was tearing up and she got very emotional seeing a clip of her kids and her husband and his new girlfriend, and they were giggling and laughing. We could only hear it, and she saw it, and she starts crying, saying that he looked so full of life and so happy, and that he was never that with her. And that's what was so sad, seeing him be really just this wonderful, happy person, and she never saw that he wasn't that with her. And that's really sad to think about.
Yeah, and that woman was like a former friend of hers.
Her friend and her interior designer. Yeah.
And, you know, to see her kind of come to terms with the fact that, okay, this is someone who I used to love, who was like a good friend of mine, and now they're with this man. And, you know, if you're going to be with someone, let it be someone who I used to be close to, who I respect, who she, I'm sure she trusts with her kids. And so there's, for her to see light, I think is good and probably a hopefully a healthy way for her to cope. I also think, like, I'm so glad you referenced that point because I thought it was so important and so sad, the like seeing Will and him finally being full of light. And it just makes me kind of wonder, I know that she said, I believe that after the fact, he no longer works for her family. But I do kind of wonder, with him working for her family's business and being surrounded by her family in a way that wasn't like hanging out at the family barbecue, but like there being systems of power and, you know, who are you reporting to and having things to be formal in a certain way, that can certainly work out and be positive and a way to grow a family business. But the flip side of it is maybe her husband at a certain point, he didn't really know like the structure of that. I don't know. I just think that like that can turn, I think, really quickly, especially if your marriage isn't on solid ground. I wonder the like stepping away from her family professionally, obviously his marriage ending, there has to be some sort of a relief there, maybe of even like resetting boundaries and figuring out who the fuck he is.
Yeah, and it's sad too that she alluded to them not doing well co-parenting, that there's strife, there's animosity. That's really heartbreaking because, again, she seems like somebody on the show. She is consistently trying to get people to mend their wounds with each other, be kinder to each other, try to understand one another. Even when Gina was coming for her so hard in that cafe, she remained very, very chill and very kind about it compared to how you can imagine other people reacting to that, to being attacked and yelled at in public that you're, you know, a squatter and you owe money. Even when Emily went for her, she's not awful back. I mean, she'll throw something back and she's good, but she's not going to be mean-spirited about it. So it's sad to see that. I hope that she does figure it out with her ex-husband and that they do have a place where they can be kind to each other.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andyscrolls. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With eight essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Yeah, and you can attribute that to her having a level of grace and her just not being aggressive. The flip side of it, though, is like how much of that is a trauma response of like if people have dumped on her before and blamed her for things, and maybe she was in an environment or community where people were like, this is why your marriage is ending, you're the one to blame, that maybe she's gotten so used to being that person, maybe, where like things are just thrown at you, the worst possible things are said, and she has, God forbid, gotten kind of used to it at a certain point. Like, obviously, she does carry herself with grace, which she should be commended for, but I also kind of wonder, like, what has she experienced that has created this sort of visceral emergency response of not fighting back or standing up for herself? It just might be a personality thing, but also there could be some other stuff here.
Yeah, last season with Tamara, that was probably the hardest to watch, the way Tamara came for her so incredibly hard. And after bringing her on the show, and you could see that Jen was taken aback by it. It was like, you know, full immersion, learning a new language of like, this is how my friend is going to treat me when there's cameras around. And she just seems so shocked at the behavior. This season, she's definitely better with it, but I think it's still a new experience for her to be on a show where people are just this mean on a Thursday, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, this show is not for the faint of heart. Mm-mm. And not to say that, you know, it's a difficult journey. I do want to just shift gears a little bit before we wrap our 14-hour episode. There was a conversation, I think, during the episode, I forget if it was at the beginning of it or not, about Tamara saying that Katie was set up by Gina. How do you feel about that? And the Katie of it all, the Heather of it all, Alexis's involvement in all of it?
So I think Gina just is very quick to break when it comes to Heather. I don't know. I don't think Gina had a plan. I don't think that she put a hit out on Katie or that she meant for it to do that. We saw how nervous Gina was. Gina, to me, was like Butters on South Park, just like a wreck, just a nervous wreck, just anxious, like, oh, Heather's not going to like this. Oh, Heather's, oh, God, you think Heather knows? Heather knows. She knows. Just the whole time freaking out. And then when it actually started and kicked off, I think she was very eager to please Heather and to make it seem like Heather had a friend in her during this confrontation. And she was not concerned with Katie. So that's what Katie picked up on. I think anybody suggesting that she had a hit out on her is just trying to start more stuff. But that's what this show is.
Well, that's what Tamara's.
Exactly. Do. That's all Tamara does.
And how are we feeling about Katie in general?
You know, I think she's going to be a good addition. I do think it's a very big bite that she took off to come for Heather about this paparazzi situation. I also, maybe just because it's been built up so much and it's really not that big of a thing, but it was last year. And things don't have to be big that big when it comes to Heather, because she'll take nothing and make it like, my children. And so that, I thought, was one of the best moments of the whole show, when the editors took the time to have her saying, mocking Gina from last season, and they cut it right in with Gina screaming that this can affect my children. These editors, they're sloppy, they're messy, and we love them. We appreciate them. We hope they get their flowers. We really do, the way they splice that all together. And then for Heather to start equating people coming for her about a staged paparazzi photo as being the same level potentially of damage done to Gina's family during the entire DUI debacle that happened with her, that's laughable. But that's Heather. That's classic H-dubs. It's what she does.
We love to see it. She also does on the after show, which is on Bravo's YouTube, get into a little bit of how she considers Katie to be just exhibiting absolute fan behavior, like bringing up the paparazzi thing and then making her focused on the hot dog of it all because she had seemingly obviously seen Gina and herself enjoying a hot dog on a prior season. And like that's all that this woman is sort of bringing to me on the table is Heather's explanation that she has seen the show. And of course, there's no bigger insult on a Housewives episode than to call someone else a fan.
Oh, yes, that's true. Poor Jackie.
Poor Jackie. Listen, BBDB, this has been such a pleasure, such a thrill. I'm so excited for our Send It to Karen at Example.com hoodie drop. Again, a link is in the show notes for this episode. And I am so excited to wear it as the temps go down outside and continue to heat up here in the Clough for our first of many, or maybe just this one, because it's perfect. So how could you ever do better than this?
I don't know. I'd like to make some unhinged merch. We'll see if I just take a gummy one night and just go for it.
I think you should do some sort of merch, which is like a gummy holding a microphone. And that should be like,
yeah,
for the pod. Yeah. I'd be here for that. I'd be here for that. Speaking of your pod, can you tell the AGs a little bit about what you've got cooking? And I do just also need to say, Oral Friendship Contract Style, you have a three-parter about all things. What's the name of the movie?
It ends with us, but it's not ending.
You have a three-part about the Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni, Ryan Reynolds friend oving chaos situation. You're a triple dive on it, and I need to listen to it pronto ASAP because I'm obsessed and need to have you back for a tip. You and I have been engaged in long form voice note convo about the Michigas. So can you tell the AGs a little bit more about that, those episodes and other episodes you've got over at High and Low?
Absolutely.
HQ?
So it is the High and Low podcast. And we do a little bit of everything. We recap shows, as we've done here. So I kind of do like a play-by-play of the show with my added commentary. And then also I do a deep dive, which is one of my favorite things to do because I don't have good self-control when I get interested in a topic and I have an internet connection. And so I just dig and dig and dig and dig until I'm weary of the topic. And that's what I did recently with It Ends With Us, because there's only so much of that you can see, and there's only so many mysteries you can have in your mind before you just try to solve them. And so that's what I tried to do there. And then I also do deep dives on true crime sometimes,
Karen Reed trial, Micah Miller, and anything that interests me. So it could be a book. It could be a Bravo show. It could be a movie. You never know. But it's a good time. High and low.
And you just posted a deep dive of Louis, talking through the Louis and one of
Louis Vanessa. Vanessa. Yeah, so that's a dive I did back in 2021 when Teresa first started dating Louis, and there were a ton of articles about him saying the craziest things. And I thought, where are they getting this? Where can Bravo viewers really find what is the truth? Because the people on the show are going to say whatever suits them, and Teresa's going to say, and he's going to say, but what are they basing this on? So I started to dig, and I found a court case between him and his ex-fiancee, Vanessa, the one that we all know now because it's been such a big storyline in the show since. And I posted that back in 2021. People enjoyed it because I just went through a court case and then, you know, try to make it funny wherever I could, per usual. And so I'm turning that into a podcast now, 3 years later, because who knew it was still going to be pertinent to kind of just get it off the slate and then move into what is happening now? Why are they still in court together? Even if the show never comes back, at least we understand that and we hopefully move on.
And so important to have that as a pod, especially because all of this inspired the James Leonard search and the origin story. So all
the jersey keeps giving.
It does keep giving. So put on your send it to Karen at example.com hoodie while you're listening to that episode over at High and Low. I love it. I love it. We keep things themed.
We can
at the Collaboration HQ, also known as the Cloth. Listen, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Sign up for the Andy's Girls Patreon. It is the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes like that live reaction I did deep diving the Salt Lake City trailer, also getting into some nitty gritty for New York's upcoming season. You can listen to that episode, which is exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers, by joining or leveling up to the AG Patreon now at patreon.com/andysgirls, and send me your satchels of gold over on DM on Instagram, again at Dame Galley. Your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone. I want to hear your reaction to all things Orange County. If you have any remaining thoughts in New Jersey, would love to hear it. Things you're looking forward to with Salt Lake City, questions, concerns, and also, of course, BCC New York, as well as any other stuff you got cooking. I'd love to read it and potentially unpack it on an upcoming Satchel Spectacular over there on the AG page. H and BBDB. Oh my gosh, what a great double episode. No one would rather kiki with more than you. So thank you so, so much for coming back.
Always a pleasure.
All right, EGs. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.